We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Top of the draft, he's a very good player. We were excited to be in the situation we were with the lottery, and I think, you know, as it unfolds, you know, we'll see who the guy is, but we're thrilled to be the position we are in. And back in the history of number one overalls, I think, you know, you're usually getting a very talented player that can help your team. So for us, Rasmus and all these other guys at the top, we're in a good situation.
Sorry, Brayton, who was that? I just came across something I'm going to want to talk about online. The
player. That was Sabres assistant general manager Steve Greeley on the number one overall pick, Rasmus Dahlin.
Okay. We're going to get to some Rasmus Dahlin talk in a moment, and Joel Lundqvist comes as well to join us at 9:15. Just posted at the Players Tribune a piece by Nick Boynton titled, Everything's Not Okay. And he talks about his battle with depression, concussions. I mean, that's really what this whole thing is about. That he's thought about dying. He's thought about death. He mentions Steve Montador, Wade Bielak, Derek Bugard, Rick Rippon. I knew those guys. Those people were real to me. Check this out at the Players Tribune. I just tweeted out a link to this and read the whole piece. I highlighted one part in here because as the NHL faces lawsuits about CTE and about head injuries, there's a reason that the NHL is sued for this. And it's because, and I am of the belief, and I would absolutely side with players on this, Boynton says in this piece, I'll read you one very quick passage. You want to know how I played the game? I tried to hurt people. That's what I was there for. A lot of people don't want to hear that, but it's the honest truth. So yes, for instance, I would try to injure you if that was the difference between winning and losing a hockey game. I do whatever was asked of me, and I can tell you that, yes, coaches do actually sometimes tap you on the back and tell you to get on the ice and fight. Whether you want to believe it or not, it happens. So, to me, this is one of the major spots that the league is culpable for head injuries and for players that have fallen victim to long-term health effects. It is 100% something the league could have and should have discouraged more aggressively. It is 100% something the league could have moved away from. This league has been built on toughness, and there are guys out there that put their body on the line, put their long-term health on the line. But more than any other league, football and hockey have these issues. You can say it's about concussions. You can say, you know, there's a lot of different things that CTE, the science is not entirely set yet. Sure, fine. There's still stuff to be determined about age. But the NHL, we've all watched it happen over a decade. Headshots go unpunished. Headshots aren't really punitive. In the postseason, hurt somebody on purpose. If you hurt them and you knock them out of the series, you win. If you are Rafi Torres and you knock Marian Hossa unconscious, you win. You are employed to do that. The league has long employed guys that are there just to hurt people, that don't add a ton of value other than the value that they are expendable and they can eliminate some of the better and more talented players. And while there might be a spot in the league for guys like that that finish checks and play hard, Boynton talks about he doesn't have a bunch of highlight reel stuff. You know, there's an element of hockey that on every level, cheap shots on every level, and this is the bet that the NHL has made. So if when the lawsuits all finish out and they're found to absolutely have responsibility and owe millions, whatever it might be, to former players, You know, there are emails about it. There are emails that have gone public. The league has looked bad. The league claims to not know about CTE. It's just, it's not a good look for the league. And this piece by Nick Boynton at the Players Tribune is powerful. And here's another one from Dan Carcillo, another one. He's got one up at the Players Tribune. Take my name off the Stanley Cup twice over. I can't live like that anymore. He would have walked away from hockey if he knew the damage he was going to do to his brain. He's now focusing on improving his mental health. The league has problems, and I do think that they are to blame. I really do. I think they are culpable. I think that management and old school hockey guys running the show that appreciated that part of the game hung on for too long, and the science of it was sneered at, and the next generation of hockey, I'm not going to tell you it's not going to be about that they should eliminate hitting altogether, but headshots, there's not been nearly enough done, not even close. Text on this from Mike in Tonawanda. The interesting part of the CTE issue is if you took hitting out of hockey largely, would the game not be better? Football, there's no way around it. But hockey can eliminate 90% of the contact and prosper. It's part of why it's so frustrating watching the NHL, knowing how poorly it's run. I agree. I agree. You could, without eliminating hitting entirely, you could take a lot of it away, and the game would probably be better. The game would probably be fine. You cannot take the physical side of the football. You cannot take all of the physicality out of hockey. But you can take a lot of it. And you can... The league's job is to steer it in a direction, right? How many goals do you want in a game? How many hits do you want in a game? The league can decide this. You can change things, pull different levers, adjust... I mean, it's not exactly like in a video game where you adjust a slider, but the league and any proactive measures, they can do this. When you add the forward pass in football, you did it for entertainment. When you take away hand checking in basketball, you did it so guards could drive to the basket. When you make it illegal for defensive players to hold receivers more than 5 yards, you do it so you get guys open. When you protect them from head hits, and you make this new rule the NFL's got, which is going to be tough to implement and going to be tough to see how they get through it all. The leagues decide the direction that the sport goes. And especially when there is one league that is in charge and that makes all the decisions, you know, that's where the game goes. And the levels below it follow. So if you are the NHL and you change the size of your net, guess what else changes? Every other net. At the college level, at the high school level, all the way down, which is one of the reasons I think that they wouldn't change the size of the net. The leagues run it, and it's about scoring. It's about skating. People go to the building for that. Another texter. Take away open ice hits. You can still rough people up in front of the net, push around the boards. Take out running people, and the game would be better. Example A, international hockey. It's not illegal, but because of the ice size, it's impractical, and it's way more fun to watch. Headshots and cheap shots shouldn't be in the game. This is from Hunter. I also don't want to watch an all-star game. Needs to have some physical play. I'd like to hear about a happy medium. Right, there's a direction they can go. It's about adjusting the slider. I mean, I watched that a lot of that Caps and Golden Knights series, and the game is about speed. For a little while, the NHL got to be about heavy hitting, and lately it's gotten to be more about speed and moving in transition. So something to watch, and with two more compelling stories from the Players Tribune that I just tweeted out, one from Daniel Carcillo and one from Nick Boynton, you know, just some thoughts on that. 803-0550, 1-888-550-2550. On the AT&T hotline is Joel Lundquist, who played with Rasmus Dahlin. Joel, good morning. My name's Jeremy. Thanks for calling in. Thanks for being on the show.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
We've talked to a lot of people about Rasmus Dahlin. You would have played with him. So I guess the first question is, how much of the hype is justified? Buffalo is pretty excited to win the lottery. Everybody's been paying attention to him and just how good he is, all the comparisons. In your experience playing, watching players, how good is Rasmus Dahlin?
You could tell early he was something else. I mean, you heard a lot of good stuff about him like 2 years ago, and then he came up and had his first practice with us in the elite team. And I mean, he did stuff out there right away that's like, okay, this kid is something special. So, and from then he's been better and better, and I think this year he mature a lot, and he's a top player in Sweden, and I mean, I think the whole Sweden is excited to maybe have a number one pick in the draft this year, and hopefully it's him.
Do you, I think, you know, many Buffalo fans are probably counting on the fact that it will be Dahlin that goes first overall. Do you get the sense that he would be, I mean, obviously he wants to play in the NHL, how excited he would be for it, how much he thinks he's ready for it?
I mean, I think he got a spot in the Olympic team here this season, and he played some national team games, and he had a big part of our team this year. So he had a really good year for him. He's still young. He's going to improve and get even better. But, I mean, he got all the skills to play in the NHL for sure. I mean, I played against a lot of different players over the years, and how he moves, how he sees the ice is special. So he got those tools already, and then, of course, he needs to improve some stuff. But I think he's ready to play for the next year.
Do you think there'll be a big adjustment for the for Dahlin when it comes to changing ice surface?
I mean, of course, it's a different game a little bit, and it's a lot of pressure. But I think he's been playing with pressure since he was 16. It's been a lot of talk about him, but of course, it's gonna be even more next year if he plays in the NHL and all that. But he's a smart kid, smart player, and I think he will adjust his game pretty quick, but. Like I said, it's a lot of pressure on him, and hopefully they don't judge him after one or two games.
Yeah, right. So a little bit of patience. How about Dahlin's patience in himself? I mean, is there a level of maturity there that you've seen in him that, you know, he knows he's a young player, he's immensely talented, but is he the kind of guy that's going to be coachable? Is it the kind of guy that's going to be patient with himself?
Yeah, I think it's a big difference comparing his first year in our team to this season. He matured a lot, and he learned when to do stuff. I mean, he's a special player that's really good one-on-one and can do stuff with the puck, but you have to learn when to do it and not, and I think this year he really stepped up, and he can play like an easy game too, and play the simple stuff as well, so I think that's a key for him too, to really read off the situations when to do the harder stuff and just play simple, and that was a big adjustment he did for this year, I think.
When he's playing with Frölunda, when he's playing over there, you know, is it normal for a player that's that young to be playing in that league?
Not in that age. I mean, like I said, I'm 36 now, and I've seen a lot of young players coming up. But to play that good, like game after game in that age when he was 16, 17, and this year, I never seen that before. So he's got extra talent for sure.
When it comes to someone that's that young in a locker room, do you feel like it's the team has a responsibility to make sure that the environment is good? Like, does it make a locker room different for your team when you've got a 16, 17-year-old kid in there?
We have a pretty young team from the start. A lot of players been playing in the junior teams in Frölunda. So we knew some guys, and I mean, I've been playing the junior team myself, so... but like I said, he's a smart player. He read off and he mature and was pretty quiet in the beginning, but after a while, he gets more comfortable and, he was more relaxed in the group. But, of course, it's important to have players to help them out and with stuff outside the rink sometimes.
Yeah, Joe Lundqvist on the AT&T hotline on Rasmus Dahlin, future likely future first pick of the Buffalo Sabres. Joel, thank you for the time, and best of luck. Hold on, Brayton, you have a question?
Yeah, Joel, okay. I really just wanted to ask you real quick also about Victor Olofsson.
Oh, of course,
you spent a lot of time playing with Victor Olofsson for the past 2 years. Just wanted to get your overall thoughts of his game in your time playing with him in Frölunda.
He had a great season, improved a lot. He had the quickness, the shot, but now he was like stronger in all situations. And I think he had he's very explosive in his game. Really good off the ice too, good guy. So hopefully he will. Pick a spot in the team next year in Buffalo. I really hope so.
Do you think that he can make that transition to the NHL right away, or do you think he needs some time to learn the game a little bit in North America?
He has the speed and the shot for sure. Like I said, he was much stronger in the battles and all that, so I think he has the tools. And it's just... it's a little different game, so it's going to be interesting to see. But he's so skilled and has those, skating and shots. So it's going to be interesting. I really hope he makes the team there.
One other player I wanted to ask you real quick on, and I know that you didn't get the chance to play with him, but you did get the chance to play against him for the past few years. Lawrence Pilot, the Sabres just signed him to a new deal. What was it like playing against him, and can you give us anything about what you thought of his game?
Skilled player for sure. He does very well. Normally maybe I don't pay attention to other players out there, but like I said, he moved the puck very well and good skating. So, it's a good player for sure.
All right, Joel Lundqvist on the AT&T Hotline. Joel, thanks very much.
Yeah, thank you.
All right. Frölunda teammate of Rasmus Dahlin, who the Sabres will be picking in about 8 days. It's a week from Friday. I got a text during this break, and this will be a fun little exercise. Let's see how you can do on this. A texter asked, who are the top five worst number one overall picks in the NHL? Colby wrote in and asked this.
Number one overall picks.
Number one overall picks, the five worst. I've got the list here. I want to eliminate goalies because I would say... any goalie's
sure.
a bad pick.
Sure.
Like, is Marc-Andre Fleury a good pick? I guess you would say yes, but, in today's game, you would say no. Was Rick DiPietro a good pick? I mean, he got hurt. So, let's just non-goalies. The five worst first overall picks, okay?
Okay.
I kind of know the answer. We'll go back in time and count them.
Okay.
2012, Nail Yakupov.
Yep. He's definitely right up there, top five.
Yep. 2012, Nail Yakupov.
Yep.
Then you've got to go back to 2006 for Eric Johnson, but he's in the league.
Eric Johnson's still a decent player in
right.
the league. He's not terrible. It's just the 2006 draft was really not all that good anyway.
Yep.
Jordan Staal was number two. Jonathan Toews was number three. Backstrom, four. Kessel, five.
Patrick Stefan.
Yeah, he's right up there.
Patrick Steffen?
Yeah.
He was 1999, the Thrashers. He went before the Sedins. He played in 450 games in his NHL career.
Yeah, but he did not put up the point production that it was expected of him. Another bad one would be, of course, Alexander Dague.
Dague is the one that people remember. That's 1993, Alexander Dague. And then you've got to go back to 1986 for Joe Murphy, who did not play much. You're at Lemieux in 84 and going back before that. So, like, the modern era, the number one picks, yeah, it's the most reliable thing in the draft. It's the most reliable draft. It's the most reliable spot. I would love to be a fly on the wall in the Sabres room as they just flirt with the idea. Not that they're going to trade the pick. They're not going to. but just flirt with the idea just to see, like, who could we get? Take a phone call. Hey, it's New Jersey on the line. All right, yeah, Ray Shiro. If I was to say to you, what'd you give me for this? Would he say Taylor Hall? I mean, what would he offer? And I think the Sabres are listening and are shooting the breeze over who they might want in return for that number one pick, fully without the intent, with no intention of actually using it. The number one reason they can't trade it is because you can't win the lottery and make T-shirts that you sell at your store and have your fans go bonkers about winning the lottery and then not using that lottery pick to take the guy that everyone thinks has to go there. Like, the Sabres have to take Dahlin. They cannot even consider any trade.
I mean,
the trade would have to be bonkers.
Yeah, I mean, it would have to be a top player in the NHL for me to even consider it. I mean, you kind of threw a couple of names out there earlier with Taylor Hall. I'd still say no. Matthews would be one that maybe considers an extra thought, but I'd still say no. It would have to be like a Sidney Crosby or Connor McDavid type of player for me to say, okay, yeah, we'll do the trade, but. They're not good. It's just not going to happen.
No, it's not going to happen.
It's never going to happen. But to the texter's point there, though, I mean, it's certainly looking like that Nail Yakupov could be the worst first overall pick in the history of the NHL.
Definitely not in the history because
– Well, not the history.
Let's go modern history.
Modern history, sure.
A texter points out that there were some that didn't even play.
Right.
But this would have been a long time ago.
Right, exactly. But, I mean, I definitely would say Nail Yakupov is trending towards being the top one. But if I had to pick one right now – just based on the history of his play, I'd probably say Patrick Stefan, Alexander Daigle number two, and then Yakupov three. But Yakupov's climbing the ranks fast.
Daigle did play a lot. I mean, a lot of these, even the busts play.
Yeah.
There was a rumor that Vancouver, the seventh overall pick for Ryan O'Reilly, which, you know, should you do that? You want to look at the last few seventh overall picks. Here you go. Darnell Nurse, not much going on there. Matthew Dumba, Mark Scheifele, Jeff Skinner, Nazem Kadri, Colin Wilson, Voracek, Oposo, Ryan Suter, Loophole, going down the list here for some of the bigger names. Hey, Eric Rasmussen, former Sabre, seventh overall. When the Sabres talk about trading O'Reilly, I'm thinking about player in, player out. And that would be my hope for what Jason Botterill is looking for, if that's what he's doing. If he is indeed shopping O'Reilly.
It also just depends on which type of prospect is available for seven. If the Sabres were, of course, to acquire the seventh overall pick. Because I think there are a couple of players this year that could, I don't know if I'd say have a chance to play in the NHL this year. But their development might come a little faster than just, you know, a couple of years. It might be 1 year like Casey Mittelstadt did this past year. There's some players out there that could be available at seven for the Sabres that would have that advanced development to their in their bag. So maybe not this year they'll play, but certainly next year they could possibly make the lineup.
803-0550, 1-888-550-2550 to join us. It is WGR. You have a thought on trading O'Reilly? You have a thought on Josh Allen's timeline now that he got first team reps? Share it with us. It's WGR.
I mean, of course, it's a different game a little bit, and it's a lot of pressure, but I think he's been playing with pressure since he was 16. It's been a lot of talk about him, but of course, it's going to be even more next year if he plays in NHL and all that, but like, he's a smart kid, smart player, and I think he will adjust his game pretty quick, but like I said, it's a lot of pressure on him, and hopefully they don't judge him after one or two games.
Joel Lundqvist on the AT&T Hotline moments ago, a former teammate of Rasmus Dahlin. Jeremy White with you on WGR. Headlines today, the World Cup in 2026 awarded to the U.S., to Canada, and to Mexico. It's a North American united bid. International relations haven't been exactly all that good. But in 2026, hopefully things are squared away. So a united bid. The World Cup coming back to the U.S. 60 of the 80 games will be played on U.S. soil. They'll go to Edmonton, Toronto, Mexico City, Guadalajara, among other places. So very cool. And the World Cup starts tomorrow. I am a I think I would go so far as to say I'm a big soccer fan. And, you know, relentlessly when we talk about it, you've got people who will say nobody cares about soccer. It's one of the strangest things that I come across is the people that are still doing that. They don't, like, people that don't care about things generally just don't comment about things. Like, there's lots of things I don't care about that I don't feel the need to vehemently say how much I don't care about it. But the don't care about soccer crowd loves to say they don't care about it. It's very, very strange. And to those people, what I think is like, oh man, that is too bad. I feel bad for you. But like, if you told me you don't like pizza, like, oh, that's terrible. Pizza's good. I'm sorry that you don't like a thing that's good. It's how people should feel about me with eggs. I don't like eggs. It's not for me. It's not my fault. I don't like eggs. And if you love eggs, you might actually feel bad for me. Like, wow, that's too bad. Omelets are great.
They're pretty good.
That's how I feel when people tell me, like, oh, the World Cup, who cares? Don't care. Oh, really?
Not all eggs are great, though.
Yeah, well, of course. So if you're missing out, I mean, sorry, man. Stinks for you, I guess. It's going to be great. Can't wait. I mean, it's the reason, I guess the reason that I still care, even though the U.S. isn't in it, is because all of the players I enjoy watching are still in it. The only guy on the U.S. team that, to me, really moves the needle would be Christian Pulisic when he plays for Dortmund, and he's one of the best players. He would be the U.S.'s best player. But the world's best players, the U.S. isn't going. That stinks. But the world's best players are still going, so it's like the Olympics. It's like if the Hockey Olympics were happening without the U.S., you'd be missing a lot of the best players. In the World Cup, let's be honest, they're not really missing. You know, the best players in the world that are missing would be Netherlands, would be Italy. The U.S. doesn't really move the needle for the best players in the world. They're still there. Spain, Belgium, Germany, England, you know. I mean, there's Portugal, Argentina. Those are the stars. The stars are still going to be there. The U.S. team isn't. And there's no denying that that means it'll be harder for some people to kind of plug in. I'm just not one of those. I'm going to be all in. The only thing is, I really wish the Netherlands were there. That's the team that I root for outside of the U.S. And that's just because in 2010 I was in Amsterdam, and I was in Europe for a good 2 weeks of the World Cup. It was in South Africa that year. I was in Dublin to watch the Netherlands and Uruguay, and I was in Paris to watch Spain play Germany. They're putting it on a television next to the Eiffel Tower. You know, to be in Europe during the World Cup was probably a big part of what led me to think, like, all right, I've got to get into this because I'm clearly missing out. And, you know, made an effort to do that, and I no longer am missing out. So the Netherlands, that's who I kind of lean toward with Robin and Van Persie and Wesley Sneijder back in 2010. I was in Amsterdam during the World Cup final in Museumplein with 80,000 people. Like, picture the Caps Cup parade, except the game is on. And that's how many people are there. So, you know, it's just, I don't need the U.S. to be in it to care. 803-0550 and 1-888-550-2552. Joe in Rochester. Joe, good morning. You're on WGR.
Good morning, guys. How are you today?
Great.
Now, don't hold this against me, but I've been a Leaf fan for over 40 years. And follow Leafs pretty closely, you know, follow Sabres because, you know, they're the Amherst parent team, obviously, too. But I'm hearing some pretty, you know, first of all, Toronto always leads the league in rumors. Everybody knows that. But there's a pretty good rumor floating around in Toronto that the Leafs would send Austin Matthews, Nylander, and Anderson to the Sabres for the number one pick, O'Reilly and Lehner. You guys heard anything on this?
No.
Okay, seems to be pretty good up there floating around.
Yeah, well, let me disassemble the rumor. The Matthews chatter has to be because Babcock doesn't get along with Babcock. That's the story.
Yeah.
Nylander, I don't know why they would do that. And Anderson, I don't know why they would do that either. O'Reilly and the first pick, and did he say something else?
Leonard
has no value.
None.
So, I mean, almost no value. Are they trading Matthews and Nylander for Dahlin and O'Reilly? I don't think so. And if the Sabres do that, great. Where's the defense? Like, I am not interested in talking about trading that Dahlin pick. Well, pretty much, period. But Most period. Certainly not unless it involves a stud young defenseman that's going to be my number one. It's the hardest thing to find in the sport, maybe. And I need to find, I can't even think of the guy. I need to find Seth Jones in that deal. I need to find a young Drew Doughty in that deal.
That's why it just doesn't happen.
No, I agree. I need not even Mikhail Sergachev, but like he's a good young defenseman. Where's the young defenseman on this team? Otherwise, you know, trust me. Do I want Austin Matthews? Sure. But I think that rumor going around is a little bit too blockbustery for my taste. Next up, Jersey City. I can't see who it is. Who is this in Jersey City?
It's Mark in Jersey City.
Mark, of course. Mark, how are you, Mark?
Hey, Jeremy, how are you? And plus, Netherlands, I'm going to miss those orange jerseys.
I love the Netherlands. I love the jersey. I love the crest. I have a Netherlands jersey. I like that they wear orange. I also like the red, white, and blue that they wear, and I have one of their jerseys that's like red, white, and blue sash. It's great. I want to say I'll miss the Netherlands more than the U.S. in this tournament, but you know the Netherlands, they have a chance to win it sometimes. So I will definitely miss the Netherlands in this tournament.
Yeah, me and you are the same ilk. I'm locked and loaded tomorrow. Rescheduled some work, so I don't have to miss the first game. Oh, I love this time when it comes around. But anyway, you replied to a tweet. You hit on the Patriots in the first hour last week. Brewski put out his, you know, Patriot truther tweet about how Patriots, you know, players that don't like their experience they crumble and they want things handed to them. And you replied to that tweet saying, but only this time it's Brady. Edelman suspension, all this stuff going on up there. How long do you think it's going to take till Brady retires, after he retires, I should say, that we start to hear that there was a lot more to his longevity than met the eye? It wasn't just the TB12 method.
Yeah.
Maybe some Euro trips over with Giselle to those, quote, rejuvenation clinics. Because I just don't buy that it's this magical diet that he's been able to maintain this long at that level. It's just, I don't know.
I think you're starting to hear that stuff now. Whether or not it's true, whether or not it's fair, is tough. But you're asking how long until after Brady retires do things start to come out and get weird? I don't know. I mean, first off, it would have to be true, and you know, there have been plenty of, I don't know, whispers is the wrong thing to say. I don't want to speculate too much, but Edelman getting busted for some unknown substance certainly wouldn't steer you away from that if you are already of that belief. And in the Patriots, I just think it's so weird. What's the explanation for canceling 2 days of minicamp and just deciding, yeah, just scrap it. We don't want any more. Robert Kraft spoke with the media, and they gave their players 2 days of mandatory minicamps. They just canceled them. For what? Job well done? They're ahead of schedule? It's strange. It's very, very strange. And the Patriots, the other thing about them is they've cheated before. So, you know, if you're going to have speculation, if you're going to have a team, a franchise that you say, hey, I wonder if they're doing something shady, they've done it before. They've earned that reputation. Thanks, Mark. And enjoy the World Cup. 803-0550 tomorrow morning, 11 a.m. Things get rolling. Extendo Sports is on the way next, and we'll continue right into the instigators. It'll be interesting to hear if the guys have anything to say about the piece posted by Nick Boynton and Daniel Carcillo, also up at the Players Tribune just 43 minutes ago. Some powerful stuff if you want to see it, theplayerstribune.com.
Breaking sports news airs first here. Guaranteed. WGR Sports Radio 550, 2020 Sports.
Extendo Sports.
All right, Extendo Sports here as we wrap up the show. Brayton, what's your stance on wearing what amount to be swim trunks in public as shorts?
If you're not near a beach or you're not near a pool, don't wear them.
I'm currently doing that.
Are you really?
Yeah, look. These are swim trunks.
I mean, they don't look like swim trunks, so at least that'll pass.
What do they look like? What other shorts are many, 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 many striped with no pockets? I mean, they don't have the liner. They're like board shorts, I guess, is what you might say, something like that. I will consider, I mean, granted, I don't exactly have a job like most people where you can just wear swim trunks, or I guess they're not swim trunks, they're like board shorts. But yeah, it's nice out today. It's gonna be like in the 70s. I don't always want to wear big, clunky, pocketed pants and shorts, so I'm wearing swim trunks.
I think if you're just out and about wearing swim trunks randomly, like actual swim trunks, unless you're going to a beach or you're going to a pool somewhere.
What's happened more often, though? You've been frustrated that you're wearing swim trunks and then you never find a pool? Or you find a pool or a beach randomly. So, hey, look, a surprise pool party. And, oh, man, I don't have my trunks. In this case, I'm ready.
But you could go swimming in just normal clothes normally. You could. You really could.
Well, okay, if that's the case, then aren't all shorts swim shorts? Technically?
Yes, I guess.
Then again, there. I guess you could. If you want to say you could, they're swim jeans. You could swim in them. Might not be all that that fun. Instigator's on the way. We're counting down the days until Rasmus Dahlin is drafted by the Buffalo Sabres. That's going to be exciting. Whenever it happens. I mean, on Friday. The other stuff that's going to be exciting is tracking these rumors, the names that keep coming out. Maybe it's a different year. Maybe I'm just more in a trading mood and more of a feel that something's going to go down. I like all the names I hear. I like Skinner, if it could be short-term, as a piece that you could use to try to make the playoffs and think about signing or trade at the deadline. He's been healthy. We've been hearing concussion stuff about Jeff Skinner forever, and it's just not real anymore. So that's good. I like Skinner. I like the Hanifin name. I like Galchenyuk. I like... Mike Hoffman all of a sudden got a little bit weird with that whole thing about the order of protection against Mike Hoffman's girlfriend. Mike Hoffman's a guy that, I mean, the Senators, we talked about him as a piece the Sabres could add. He's not always been valued the most in Ottawa, it seems. Ottawa, man, if there's one team that's a mess, Ottawa is a truck fire. Ottawa's a disaster. And, I mean, from poor relations with Daniel Alfredson after he retired to losing Carlson. Like the Carlson trade, there's a great example of the O'Reilly trade versus the Carlson trade. If the Sabres trade O'Reilly, the team that's getting him, he's got term. They know what they're getting. They're planning for multiple years. You try to trade Carlson, the team that's acquiring him has got to have a deal in place. And if they don't, like Carlson has to sign still. And if Carlson has two places that he wants to sign with, you're negotiating with only two teams. And if you're negotiating with only two teams and he says, I don't want to go to Vegas if they're going to give up Marchessault, or I don't want to go to Vegas if they're going to give up whoever. Toss names out there. It really puts Ottawa in a spot where they have to accept less for Carlson, because you're not going to trade for him unless he's going to stay. And whether or not he stays is up to him. So Carlson kind of gets to dictate where he goes, and also at the same time gets to dictate how much you get in return. And O'Reilly does not have that kind of power over the Sabres or the team that he ultimately goes to.
Two-minute warning.
What else is going on in the world there, Brayton? I'm going through my notes for wrapping up the show.
You could do a quick guess the country in 2 minutes?
I definitely can.
All right, let's get it underway. I'll just start right off with the national anthem of this country. And I'll get in your clues here. The estimated population of this beautiful country is over 10 million people. This country's northernmost point is Cape Angela. And it's also the northernmost point of this continent it lays in.
All right. This is going to be Sweden. This is going to be Colombia. Everybody knows Cape Angela. Everybody knows Cape Angela is in...
To the north of this country is a coastline of crystal clear waters, lush vegetation, and wild cliffs, while the southern coastline has a desert landscape surrounding it.
Everybody knows this is Australia. Okay. All right. Northernmost part of a continent.
When the movie Raiders of the Lost Ark was shot in this country, crew members had to remove 300 television antennas from homes for one scene in order to make a rooftop shot look like 1936.
Everybody knows That is, where was Raiders of the Lost Ark filmed? Egypt. Morocco.
This country's most famous Olympian is Mohamed Gmaoudi, who won 4 Olympic medals over 3 games. The French colonized this country in 1881, and they claimed their independence in 1956.
Senegal. Nigeria.
Last clue. This country opens their World Cup on Monday against England.
Russia. No, England plays Tunisia.
Wow.
That's a bad one. You know how I knew England played Tunisia?
How's that?
Because it's on the FIFA 18 squad building challenge this week.
All right.
Which might as well be a different language to most of our listeners, but England-Tunisia is a squad building challenge. And on the FIFA transfer market, Tunisian players are out of this world expensive right now. That's it for us. Instigators is on the way next. Sorry for the brief foray into FIFA.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.